folks, welcome to the November 22nd Subcommittee on Aging meeting. I'm Councilwoman Lisa Diller, and if we can go around and everybody say their name for the record, that would be great, because we are recording.
Jane Rattani, Department of Community Services.
Carol Boyer, community member.
Joseph Day, Land Use Department.
Fred Fortunato, representing the Home Builders Association of Delaware.
And Renee Vansley, Legislative Aid.
Okay, well, we're really glad to have Joe and Fred here, because they were going to do, Dave was going to contact you to do, get some comments and as we look at the legislation. So let's just do the approval of the minutes, and then we'll go right into what we were going to do today. I think the minutes are fairly, hi Lou.
Sorry.
Joined by Lou Hinkle, aide for Councilman Weiner. Do you want to sit up here?
Sure.
Yeah.
Here. Thank you.
We have a set of minutes from October 22nd. Any additions or corrections for those of you who are here? I think we've had, a pretty solid sense of it. Any additions or corrections? No. Let's take a look at the proposed universal design legislation. I know we've got copies of the legislation here if folks need it. Anybody? Joe?
I think we got copies. Are you working, is it September 27th is the date on the bottom of that one?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, we have copies.
Sure. Okay. At this point, you know, we had talked about this in committee a number of times, and we wanted to get some feedback, and thanks for Joe and Fred for coming. Do you, Fred, in particular, what do you, your reaction?
Well, I am not an expert by any means on universal design. I'd actually hope that Debbie Pinicario with Leon Wiener Associates could attend. Mm-hmm. She's in West Virginia for the next few days, because they do a lot of this with their rental units, their housing units, mm-hmm. and their, you know, they spit this out in their sleep. So it looks like the purpose of this is to, and it looks like it says to ensure that the needs, but it's encourage.
Yes.
The needs of for universal design in products in new housing. And I guess just going through the list here.
Thank you.
I guess it's always a balance between trying to meet the needs of a group versus, you know, the needs of a whole. And you know, I think you're on target for that, because if you, there are instances, I think, that you know, Leon Wiener has, where they have accessible units for rent that they can't rent out, you know, because
right.
the general population just doesn't want them, and,
mm-hmm.
and so you can go too far. But at the same time, there is a need, and you know, I think our active adult product today, and a lot of builders doing, including ourselves, who I work for, are doing a lot of this.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And so, I mean, this seems, you know, par along those lines. I guess my question is with the first one today. All units that are to be designed for universal design standards. Does that mean that, so if you're going to do a project where it's required, I guess, for the universal design, is that what's designed for universal design?
I don't think any of these are actually intended to make you do universal design standards. I think that was a statement saying that no matter what, that they should be compliant with the IRC
right.
and IBC. no matter what design standard you use. I think that statement was really about saying you can't say universal design. We're using universal design standards, therefore we don't have to follow the code.
Right.
I mean, it always has to be to the code first, and then any design standards are above and beyond that.
Well, are the universal design standards, and again, I apologize, I'm not able to snuff on all of this, but are the universal design standards different than what's in the IBC or
yes.
the IRC?
Yes.
I
mm-hmm.
see.
Okay. And a lot of them, if you read in C, like one of the things you won't find anywhere in code is having that offset tub and shower controls.
Mm-hmm.
It's not required anywhere, but it is a universal design standard, so you don't have to lean over the tub. It's that type of thing, just to make it easier for people to,
right.
you know, really to live the rest of their life in their unit.
Right, I see. So I guess A is basically saying that if we're going to call something universal design standards, that's great, but it still has to be in compliance with the IRC.
That's right.
Okay.
That's exactly right.
Okay. Okay, that makes sense. New age-restricted community, the developer shall present each buyer with the option to have unit design utilizing universal design standards as enumerated in the IBC. Okay, so you want us, basically we have to offer as an option
yes.
to comply with universal design standards.
Yes, and what we're seeing this as is as much an educational tool for the buyer
mm-hmm.
as anything else, because mm-hmm. our concern is if we tell you to do this, you know, everybody is aware of where things are economically.
Mm-hmm.
But if people are presented with this as an option,
mm-hmm.
they can choose to do it, and so much cheaper to do it at the front end than to wait
right.
and try and do some of this stuff later on.
Right.
So we would like to see the package presented as an option for people to you know, to purchase at the time they're considering buying into the community.
Mm-hmm. Okay. The package, I guess, and Joe, I would ask you this, as far as the universal design standards, does that, I mean, in a nutshell, what would that encompass? So if I was going to figure out what that costs, I mean, does that includes, I think, design layout, like hallways, turn radius?
Well, I think what we were looking for is actually, if this was passed, and it actually should have a slash for the IRC here, too.
Mm-hmm.
But if it was passed, I would assume that we would create like a menu for your buyer to be able to look at and actually choose the options that they feel that they want, you know, I mean, would make the most sense to them. But yes, I mean, part of the, you know, the grab rails in the bathroom and the, you know, accessible sink areas and, you know, the offset controls and the lever type door handles
mm-hmm.
all would be in that menu with amongst, I would assume, many, you know, I mean, other things.
Right, right. Because I think what I've, you know, read about some of the requirements on, and I don't know if it's universal design standards, but some of the FHA guidelines, the gamut runs everywhere from grading outside as far as your sidewalks have to be at a certain elevation and, you know, slope away from the house. So it involves site work
mm-hmm.
as well as all the way up through the house with, you know, grab bars and all that kind of stuff. So I guess what you're saying is you don't want everything that's in the universal design standard package, because quite honestly that could be a pretty huge package as far as all-encompassing. So is that...
I think what we were saying, like, you would offer them, here's the menu, and they would be able to go through and choose the options that they want, because if they chose, obviously, if you said if they chose everything, you might be talking about, you know, $80,000 or $90,000. And
right.
I don't think it was an all-or-nothing...
No option. No.
You select the pieces that you think are most important.
Yeah, well, and yeah. some of it we couldn't do. You know,
right.
Honestly,
right.
With the site work alone, you know, in order to comply with some of the grading and pitch, you know, the product, you couldn't put a, necessarily like a basement house. Might not be able to comply with some of this stuff. You know, just because, you know, our basements have to be, you know, X amount of feet away from the grade around it. Whereas if you had to go to a slab on grade, you know, it's a little easier to do, but you know, then you got a cold floor and all that kind of stuff, and it's all, you have to do your site work differently for a slab product than a basement product.
Right.
So I guess so long as there's flexibility in this language, you know, that, you know, we're not encumbered to, you know, price everything, I guess will we be able to select what we present to them, or? or you want to come up with a list in this legislation, maybe.
I think we're going to end up having to come up with a list in the legislation. Go ahead.
I was going to say, Joe, maybe you can ask this because you were at the September meeting too, but I thought Dave had said that the universal design standards were enumerated in the residential code and in the building code as they exist now, and that's why we didn't need a list specifically in the legislation.
No, I think what Dave was saying was that the residential and the building code are the correct place to put that stuff.
Okay.
He didn't really want design standards in the UDC, which we've had some issues with in the past. So he wanted to take that and actually amend the IBC and IRC to include it. Because if they were in the IBC and IRC right now, I mean, it would be required. It would be a required code.
Right.
And what we wanted to do was put it in, add it to our Chapter 6 to say, you know, I mean, we recognize these as the universal design standards.
Mm-hmm.
And then we could, you know, but nothing says that we couldn't allude to them and create a list out of policy for the department too.
Right.
That gives us flexibility instead of, you know, if Fred says, look, I can't do the grading to make this, you know, no-step entry, you know, it would allow the department to see that and allow some flexibility in the list of what he can offer and what he can't offer.
Right.
Well, I think that the question is, I just want to make sure that people can get a list of these things
mm-hmm.
that they can choose to put into the house if they
right.
want to. I mean, if you can't do the grading, that's clearly the biggest,
mm-hmm.
The largest issue.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that to take a look at some of these other things, you know, these are not difficult things to put in
mm-hmm.
as long as people have a list and they are aware. I mean, one of the things we want to do is use this as an educational tool for people
mm-hmm.
so that they can make informed choices.
Right.
And so I think that if you can take a look at those
mm-hmm.
and just, I think realistically, ballpark those things that are realistic to be able to do as a set of options.
Right.
It would make sense. But I mean, things, if you look at C, which we're looking at it for non-age restricted communities, we took a look at the universal design standards and said, what are things that can be included?
Mm-hmm.
And certainly a number of these are not that expensive
mm-hmm.
at the front end to be able to do.
Mm-hmm.
But if someone is thinking about moving into a community with an eye toward the future,
mm-hmm.
I mean, knowing that they can do all of these things, plus considering the idea of the one-step main entry,
mm-hmm.
I think makes a lot of sense if people are looking at this,
mm-hmm.
you know, for 20 years down the line.
Right.
So.
Sure. Yeah, I agree. Yeah, these items in C, with the exception of one, you know, they're easy. And you know, and what we've actually done for number one with no steps, once you get them to the front door, you know, we generally have to give them a porch, a small covered porch, and that's not hard. It's tough to not have at least one step from the walk to the house just because of the grading. But you know, in some instances, we've gone and we're in the garage. We've, you know, taken up half the garage and built a wood ramp to get
mm-hmm.
into the house. And so those are the kind of things that we could come up with in order to, you know, get them inside, or, you know, can you do, you know, get your grading to work on the outside so that there is not a step. And sometimes you can. That varies by site.
Yeah.
Quite honestly. So.
Well, I mean, David said in the meeting, that's really the most complicated part of this
mm-hmm.
is the
yeah.
whole grading issue.
Mm-hmm.
But these other things, it just, you know, these are just easy to do
mm-hmm.
at the front end. And
right.
that's what we want to encourage,
mm-hmm.
you know, people to be moving toward.
Sure. Yeah, what I could do is you know, think about what, you know, we've done in active adult housing. And because, you know, the active adult market, you know, we've been doing it for since 93, since I joined the company. And it's each community has its own flavor of people. You know, some are a younger crowd, some are an older crowd.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, some people, when they come in, they don't want to think about
right.
Grandpa's.
Yes, we
they don't want
that.
You know, a
yeah.
handicapped shower. They don't want to see any of that. You know,
yeah.
they're, you know, they want the garden tub and they want tile, and, you know, they want you know, all that kind of stuff. Later on in life, might they want something like that? Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's where we have done blocking and things like that. So it is kind of hard to hit everything and you know, keep the product marketable that, you know, they want to pay for this stuff or not pay. But so, you know, we can look at, you know, both what, you know, us as well as other active adult builders have done, and as well as I can, you know, talk with Leon Wiener Associates and see what they've done, because, you know, they're, you know, they've done a lot of these accessible units. And because, you know, higher, I know there's, you know, some parameters that I've seen in the past is where, you know, you have the hallways a certain width and turning radius and things like that that really affect the layout of the house and you know, would affect, you know, how much you can give them as far as a laundry room or you know, bathrooms and that kind of stuff. And they're, you know, it's a pretty big deal that it's a bit more involved. So, you know, maybe we can kind of come up with, you know, some items that we think are the key items that people would be interested in, like these and maybe a few more. And you know, offer those as far as here's what you should price out.
Okay.
And I don't think, personally, I don't think active adult builders would have a problem, you know, being required to offer these as an option.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of builders are, anyways. You know, we some do standard, you know, the Comfort Aid toilets, mm-hmm. you know, Comfort Aid vanities. Some do it as an option, anyways, grab bars mm-hmm. and things like that. So a lot of what we're doing, anyways. And you know, this might just be a few more items.
Well, I think part of what, as I said, part of what we want to do is use this as an educational tool so that, you know, we might even work with AARP. You can see they're looking at universal design standards so that people can be handed something when they come in to look at a unit
mm-hmm.
and say, here are some things you might want to think about as you're thinking about purchasing here, you know. And if there's a list then of things that people could choose, I think that would be great because...
Right.
We just know that we're just going to have a very large increase in an elderly population in Newcastle mm-hmm. County, and the more we can front load people thinking about what they're going to need in the future,
right.
I mean that's really the point that we're going for here.
Right. Okay.
So I think it would be great if you could have those conversations and
mm-hmm.
get back, you know, to Joe and Dave and to sort of, you know, we would be happy to meet with. Anyone you think would be appropriate, but we really want to be able to help people make good choices as they think about housing that they're going to need to be in as they age.
Okay.
And Fred didn't say it, but Fred's company's probably did 70 or 80% of the age-restricted
yeah.
housing in Newcastle County in the last 5 years.
And you're right.
It has to be somewhere close. I mean, I know you guys have done a ton
yeah,
of it.
Yeah, we've been doing it for a while.
I mean, I know people don't want to think about it, but
mm-hmm.
the reality is, for those of us who are trying to provide services, in the long run, if people don't start thinking about it, you know, these are easy fixes if you go into, you know, to build a house.
Right.
It just starts to get more expensive and time-consuming later
mm-hmm.
on if you don't think about it
sure.
from the very beginning. So.
I think your comments are particularly pertinent in that the trend is to keep people out of nursing homes
mm-hmm.
and to
mm-hmm.
get them out of nursing homes.
Exactly.
That's the other end. I know it doesn't quite fit, but
right.
you know, it's
right.
hard to do if you don't have a wide enough door.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You've got there's too many steps or a
mm-hmm.
configuration that doesn't lend itself.
Right.
Well, one of the things that I see as being very beneficial to this, and it seems that there seems to be a segmented portion of housing stock. And one thing that I would like to see, or what I find very beneficial in this, is that it doesn't segregate the housing by having just an adult community or 55 whatever community. You're segregating those people to just that area, whereas if you have this as a standard, doesn't matter where you're going to be living, you can still then age into your home there.
Well, and that's what we're looking for.
Without having to be, I mean, because I see a lot of people that don't want to go live in an age-restricted community and want to stay where they're aging, you know, or where they grow up. But without having to have the certain other restrictions that go with those types of communities.
Right.
And I think by having these options up front,
mm-hmm.
Not so much that you're paying for them up front, but, I mean, the downside of it is because I don't know what the average stay in a new home is today. I don't know what those figures are, but I don't think the younger people are looking to stay there for 40 years of their life. They're
right.
probably going to be moving to another home.
Mm-hmm.
But having the option of a someone who wants to go to a home and then stay there
mm-hmm.
without having to go to a segregated community, I think is really important to include these upfront. So they're already there, and then that way you don't have to make that huge investment into getting a home compliant that way. Mm-hmm. One of the things I think the sticker shock of age restricted housing is, mm-hmm. is what to me is like baffling. But knowing the reasons why, you know, here you're trying to, you know, live out the rest of your days, you know, on a fixed income, having, you know, to spend $500,000 for a home. And where the surrounding community, the homes are $250,000, $300,000. And that's one of the things that where I'd like to, I'm hoping that this will bring this the cost down.
Right. Well, the sticker shock, you know, for all new construction is, quite honestly, a function of the UDC. So I'll get my plug in for that.
Stop beating that dead horse, will you?
Well, it has something to do with the price of eggs. Right. And, you know, today's market, you know, what we paid for land has nothing to do with what we're selling for.
Right,
and, so, you know, that's all gone. And, you know, the market right now is, there's, you know, the younger buyers, everything's about price right now. Yeah. The prices are coming down, and, you know, we're just lowering price. And some guys have cut out some of the things you used to include. And that's where today's buyer, and it's going to be this way for 5 years easily, as far as, you know, are they willing to pay more for something? You know, whether it's this or energy and everything else. And quite honestly, the answer is no. You know, they... You know, hey, energy, green building, because we build some of our communities the green standards, or active adult houses, actually, the NEHB, we have a green certification bronze level. That's great, but if we try to charge them for it, we're not going to pay for it.
Are there any federal incentives involved in any of this work?
That's an interesting question.
I don't know. I would think not, unless you got into maybe some of the public housing, but because I've never heard of any, that's why I would say that. But so, you know, it's you know, people right now are you know, tough. They don't want to really pay for much. And particularly, you know, the younger first-time home buyers, if they have to choose between, you know, buying things for 40 years down the road or
right.
putting brick on
yeah,
their house,
right.
they're going to go brick.
Right.
You know, that's, you know, that's just the way it's going to be. But, you know, that doesn't mean you can't, you know, encourage these kind of things. And, you know, with the wider doors and single-lever faucets and that kind of stuff, it's you know, it's easy stuff. Certainly starting in the active adult housing makes sense.
Valerie, you were trying to get in here?
Yeah, just a couple things that I think are worth mentioning that tie in with all these things listed in C is the home buyers that are out there right now, even as first-time home buyers, they may not be looking at this as I'm going to be living here for the next 40 years, but they may be thinking mom needs to move in with me or
yeah.
dad needs to move
yeah.
in with me.
Mm-hmm.
And so they really need these options, and unfortunately they don't know they need these options.
Mm-hmm.
They just know they need a better place than where they are now.
Mm-hmm.
The consumer's typically fairly uneducated, even the ones leaving nursing homes. You know, they have somebody go out and assess the house to see if they can go home, and they come back and say, no, you can't go back there, but they don't even really understand what that means.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think by having this, you know, laundry list, if you will, about, you know, the things that we're willing to put in place to make those decisions easier, and in the end, help them to resell their property later, can only benefit,
mm-hmm.
you know, the consumer and the market, you know, because there are these value-added things that are available to them.
Right.
And I know for the last 10 years, you know, like I said, when we were researching the ADU, is that what the technical?
Yes.
Yeah. We were building it. We didn't know what it was called.
Mm-hmm.
For our home, there were no real standards. There was nothing
yeah.
in the code
mm-hmm.
to say, what do we need? And so that was a long, hard road. But I think everything in here is good.
Well, I think, you know, if you can get back with the folks that you work with in general and talk to them, I mean, if there's anything else we need to consider, this group certainly, you know, would want to. But I think, you know, the whole point is to use this as an educational tool.
Right.
And I think Valerie is right. You know, we're thinking about redoing bathrooms, and I'm like, need to think about this, you know, and even if we don't stay in the house forever, if we have to redo the bathroom, why not add some of these things? So I think that's the kind of thing that we hope people will pick this up and say, need to think about this,
right?
You know, and then if we have, like, for example, Kim Iapolucci, you know, sent over this this is a draft of the AARP, I mean, to make this available to people so that they can start looking at some of this information, I think makes a lot of, you know, just makes a lot of sense.
Can I segue on
sure.
that? Well, some of these things, and looking at them, would be minimal additional expenses. It's just more as in design changes, and maybe it would be beneficial to list them that way. I mean, to having a minimum maximum height for switches or outlets, as opposed to putting it at 5.5 feet or 4.5 feet, I wouldn't expect it to be a very minimal cost to the builder at all.
Right.
So maybe the options as listed as no cost options, but yet compliant to what's happening here, as opposed to the added on additions that may be more cost prohibitive to you or would cost you more money.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It might be a real good way to target some of the getting these involved.
Getting it
as,
started.
As like automatic additions. Or
Okay.
I think you try to sell it as make life easier for yourself. Use your elbow to hit that switch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, talking the toggle, awesome place next to the front door to put all those packages. My niece moved into a house, and it was gorgeous put on. I went to see it. I said, oh, my God, what a nightmare. Down in a bowl and slate steps. I said, how can't you walk up steps with a baby and packages?
Yeah.
And I know she's not thinking of that at all. But hey, how are you going to make this easier for yourself?
Right.
Carry your kid in. Ooh, you broke your leg. How are you going to get in the house? That's a very limited thing. But
or your kid broke their leg, and now you got to drag them up
the steps.
Now you
got to drag them up the steps.
Or it's say going off to a narrow population, but you have a child with a disability. How can you best care for them?
Did you build an ADU on your house?
I did.
So did I. I actually pulled the first ADU permit in Kessel County.
Excellent.
Because my mom moved in with us, so right when they passed that law, timing worked out great. And, you know, but unfortunately, there's nothing in the regs about, you know, your mom getting along with your wife.
So yeah.
That was
the biggest
difficulty.
We don't get into that here.
I was able to design it, you know, being in the business. You're right, I was able to design it, so I put a shower in there with a very low threshold you know, plenty of room in the bathroom floor and, you know, big doorways, so, you know, it would accommodate her because she's 84.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what we did. Works. You know, it's a good law.
I have a question for a builder.
Why
is there such a thing as a towel rack when a grab bar looks the same but won't break away when you try to hold on to it?
Cost.
Yeah, cost primarily, sure. But again, some people don't want to see that handicap looking stainless steel towel bar in their house.
The thing, they don't have to look like that, do they? Or
gorgeous.
Is that a designer kind of thing? We have to get the designers involved in this process at
some point.
You
know, maybe there are designer ones that are out there, but, you know, we kind of go by market, you know, what the market wants, and, you know, we don't get a lot of requests. I mean, quite honestly, we put a few grab bars in some of our active adult product, but not a lot, you know, because, you know, we will put them, you know, in tubs and showers, but, you know, for towel bars, we just use regular.
Because towel bars and toilet paper holders,
invariably,
when I used to work in elder care for like a decade, and you'd go into the bathroom, and what you'd see is broken towel racks and broken toilet paper holders where they tried to keep themselves from falling, and it didn't happen. So that's one of those products that you only realize it's failed when it's too late.
Right.
And so it's a constant frustration for me.
But there's gorgeous stuff on the market. Like
I've
seen that beautiful stainless steel, and then a little thin rod underneath for the towel. So you don't grab that by mistake. Even better, though, I like the one that went around where the offset, where the faucet is and all that. A very pretty stainless steel circle. That's a grab bar. But unless I told you, you wouldn't know.
Right, yeah. There's
some
beautiful stuff out
blended
there.
Blended.
And we actually, a blacksmith actually designed us a towel, a toilet paper holder that is, you know, just wrought iron in a curve. But then it was trying to convince our, you know, the contractor that we had, we literally had to stand there and tell his guys what to do because they didn't understand reinforce this to withhold 400 pounds, you know, of pressure or a roll-in shower. They didn't get it. They were like, we don't know what that is. We can't do that. I'm like, well, you could. So after they left, we got out the hammer drill and put in the bed the way it was supposed to be after the cement had already cured.
Right.
But they just, it didn't make sense to them, and it's such a simple thing. It would have saved them a lot of time, energy, and effort.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think everybody kind of has, maybe they haven't seen it enough to understand what that vision looks like.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, but
right.
it would be great if everybody's house was like that. Because
mm-hmm.
you don't even see the mm-hmm. things that are the most important. They just, it's, life is easier and you don't know why.
Right, right.
That shelf that's way up there, that gizmo that pulls the shelf off, cats me out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so many people, especially women, tend to be shorter,
mm-hmm.
can't use that top shelf because, you know, it's beyond.
Mm-hmm.
You have a device that brings it down.
Yeah, the closet racks, too, they have the high poles. I don't know if you've seen those, but, like, it just has a pole hanging off of it, a little handle, and you pull it, and the clothes come down as far as you want them to. The whole rack extends
oh, wow.
from the closet, and some of them have light switches on it, so as soon as you touch this, the light goes on, the clothes come down, do whatever you need to do, and then just push it back up, and it's hydraulic, and so it's very smooth. And that way you can actually use the whole closet for floor sets.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
So just interesting things that are out there that, you know, unless you go digging around, like you have a specific problem, you wouldn't even know that they're there.
Right, right.
Well, I think that, you know, in the future we hope everybody will take advantage of everything. But I think for now, let's just get
yes.
the discussion going.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we won't be meeting in December, so
okay.
there's some time here.
Okay.
And, you know, if you're interested in... You know, if we can sit in on the meetings, that would be great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let us know. I mean, Renee and I are available to do these kinds of things. And folks, go ahead and take a look at, as I said, this was sent over by Kim. You're going to have to flip it over
yeah.
on one side, but that's okay. But these are some of the suggestions they're making in this brochure for universal design, which we would hope that, you know, we could distribute and give people ideas. Again, these are ideas about what can make life easier. And Fred, I'm sure that she would be interested if you wanted to give her some feedback on that. We would be glad to hear from you if you have any suggestions.
Okay.
And if anybody else does. Because I think this is a draft of this, right?
She emailed this over. I'm not sure if they're using this yet or not. So.
Okay.
And who is she?
Kim Ipulu. She's the communications director for AARP.
Point. I think that's really what we wanted to get going was the discussion on this. You know, I think we envision, you know, with the comments being able to move this forward in the spring. So we'd really like
mm-hmm.
to get this nailed down in the next month or two.
Sure.
Does anybody have anything else for the good of the order at this point? Do we have the good news that Susan is staying with the county?
We do.
Yes.
We do.
Yes.
So that's wonderful.
Yeah. So we're excited about that.
Mm-hmm.
Susan Eggert was offered another position but decided to stay here, which is bad for them and really good for us.
Mm-hmm.
So she'll be continuing to do great work on volunteerism, and we hope, Jane, that, you know, as we move forward, one of the things that's still on at least my plate is, you know, the senior year minor home repair program, just looking for increased funding and, you know, for that, not just the numbers of people who need the service, but also, you know, other options if people need beyond the 2,500. So.
Right. Absolutely. And that is a top priority of our department going forward. Is searching for new partnerships and revisiting actually the successful partnership we've had with AARP. A few years ago, they had given us a grant towards the senior minor home repair program. So we're hoping that perhaps we can do a collaboration and some matching
mm-hmm.
Funds and search out other funding streams. as well as we are working with law to determine just the liability involved
right,
with the volunteers.
Exactly.
Just in a nutshell, to revisit, what we're hoping is to find some skilled volunteers who are able to do some of the minor repairs, and but we're having to work with our law department to ensure, you know, liability and those volunteers are covered as extensions of the county program. And if certainly not doing those things that would require any type of permitting or, you know, that sort of improvement. But yes, it does remain a priority for our department and the county administration. They, you know, they definitely see the benefits and the need for aging in place.
Yes,
and
exactly.
And are very,
that's
very
really
supportive of it. And so we're hoping to cross our fingers.
We had a VISTA volunteer for a while who did a very nice job of sort of delineating what could be done by volunteers and what, you know, anything that required permits. And so what we're working through at this point is, you know, what things can actually be done with volunteers, but also the liability issue with the county and how we deal with that. And so thank you for continuing to work on that. I think that makes a lot of sense, and we hope to move forward with some of these other ideas in terms of funding. I think that's great. That's on my list of talking to Marcus about. So.
And of course, the federal budget is being, you know, hopefully finalized soon in regard to at least the impact to our housing programs and the support we receive, which the senior minor home repair program is supported by federal dollars.
Yeah.
So we're hopeful that it will maintain at the same level.
Great. Anything, any other announcements people have? Okay. I'll ask for public comment. Renee, I'm thinking we should look at January.
January 24th.
January 24th. Okay. So in between time, we'll catch up with you and Fred and see if there's, you know, if you have any additional comments. Or,
sure. Oh, yeah, so, we will. We'll come up with something for you.
Great.
Absolutely.
That would be terrific. You know, I think that folks have felt strongly about this, and we've been really pleased to get the support from land use, and if we can get some input from you folks who do the work, that would be great.
Well, we appreciate you inviting us
to
the table, sure.
Well, you know, in light of some of the other things that I've seen, my theory has been, let's get people to the table before we lay something out and then get a reaction. So.
Great.
So thanks everybody for coming, and have a great Thanksgiving. And motion to adjourn.
Second.
All right, great. All those in favor, I'm sure.
Aye.
But yeah, enjoy the holiday, and
this is actually just Newcastle County's Chapter 6, which is our like our administrative chapter and our amendments to the building code. But this is right on the website.
Okay.
If you look on the Land Use Department website, there's a tab called
Laws
and Legislation.
One more copy of this ordinance.
And this one is Chapter 6. Now the actual like building code and residential code themselves aren't available anywhere except for sale, because they're copyrighted by like the national organization.
Okay. It's not even on the internet to look at.
No.
Wow.
No. It's all copyrighted. So.
Believe me, there's plenty of stuff there to keep you really busy for a long time.
I know. I have such a pile of I accumulated.
Okay.
You know, when I have time, I'm gonna look at it. You sound like a fire brand, like I feel about this. Come on, let's get out there and do this stuff.
Well, you know what? Lots of experience in work and personal, and then you know, just it's a little frustrating.
But that's
frustrating.
Okay.
I think. I'll tell you what, I use my grandmother's
so
shower all the time now. I have a
and you know, Dave,
heel spur, and
I know,
haven't used
I've
my shower in
so
months.
Sad.
Yes,
because
exactly.
Because hers is so much more functional. Like, I can't wait till I can gut this one and make it the same as that one.
Yeah, my husband's saying, well, maybe we should build a garage. And before you build a garage, we think about whether we're staying here. Because if we're staying here,
that bathroom has to go.
We're not staying here, look.
It's all the little things.
Yeah.
How's May?
She's good.
You know,
she's discovered Mad Libs, so, obviously, you know, there